How many of you want a better year than you had last year? Okay. And I know I'm talking to the right people. Oh, wow. Well, let me tell you, I had that conversation with my wife. I said, honey, I guess it's the same amount of days in every month this year, but this year went fast. Huh? You can't afford to be sick because it goes too fast as it is. Oh. How many days in the biblical month? Does anybody know? When we're talking about the biblical month, we're first going to study time, and we're going to study chronology, which events take place at certain times. Does anybody know the calendar of the biblical calendar? How many days is in each month? It's real simple, 30. Every month of the biblical calendar has 30 days. Now, the reason I brought that up is I've been studying on Revelation. I want to teach Book of Revelation to you. And I'm trying to get all kinds of books and reading all kinds of things and trying to get prepared for it so I can give you a streamlined teaching of the Book of Revelation, because I think it's very, very important. We are living in troublesome times. There's a lot of things happening. And you need to be aware that a lot of these things that are happening is fulfilling Bible prophecy. And you need to know it. And when you know it, you'll be blessed beyond measure. When you see things happening and you hear of these things in the news and you know, oh, Pastor talked about that on Sunday. He talked about that. He said that this was going to happen. And it's happening before my eyes. I'm listening to it. I'm hearing the news. That's how in tune you need to be. And we can be. The Bible has predicted it. God knows the future. He has the future recorded for us in the book of Revelation, referred to as the apocalyptic book, along with Ezekiel and Daniel. So I'm just digging. I just can't wait to get into the study. We'll have some charts. We'll have them up here on the wall. We'll be talking about prophecy events that's taking place chronologically. What takes place? What can we expect to take place? When's it going to take place? We won't be here for the tribulation. I'll explain that. Why we won't be here for the tribulation. Is the tribulation soon? Well, I can tell you the rapture can happen anytime. The word imminent for rapture means rapture can happen anytime. Nothing else has to be fulfilled in order for the rapture to take place. It can happen anytime. That's how close we are. But I'm anxious to get on that study. Right now, we're going to talk about how we can be sure of God's will. How we can be sure of God's will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be here today. I'm happy to be here. Lord, help me to share this now, because I know that each and every one here needs to hear it. So help me to be clear, simple, and precise. In Jesus' name, amen. If someone asked you what Christians mean when they speak of the will of God, what would you say? What would you say? What is the will of God? Anybody? Can anybody just give me a... What is the will of God? It's simpler than you think. What simply is the will of God? Part of it. We need to really have an understanding of this, what it exactly means. The will of God refers to his purpose, his plan, and his desire for all of our lives. Everybody in here has a different fingerprint. Different fingerprint. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that amaze you? Of the billions of people in the world, and you're unique, your fingerprint's different. Now, how in the world can anybody make a different fingerprint with billions of people? God can. I'd like the scientists to figure that out for me. Explain that to me. Huh? God can do it. He's made you unique. How about a DNA? That's something we just realized just recently. We all have a DNA. My son just purchased a DNA kit for my wife and I for Christmas. I'm kind of anxious to figure out where I came from. Now, if I find out Adolf Hitler was my uncle, I'll be upset. But we're unique. Every one of us is unique. God designed you to be that way. I never hoped to cut trees like Petey, and Petey would probably never paint a room like I can paint. Because God designed us to do the things that we do, and we can do them better than other people can do them because we're special. God made us that way. We're unique. Do you know that God has a perfect, wonderful, beautiful plan for your life? He does. And I want to try to give you the keys to figure out what that is. I want you to figure out what it is. Because you need to be doing what God wants you to do. Oh, I'm getting worried. I can't preach. Hey, would you come up here and speak right now? I want to sit down. You see, you don't need to worry about God doing that with you. Because God already knows your thoughts in your heart. He wasn't calling you to do something like that that you don't want to. Well, sometimes he calls you on things that's a little awkward. Now, Jonah was supposed to go preach to Nineveh, and he didn't want to do that. Well, God had a way of changing his mind. So we're talking about God's will. You need to know what it is. God has a plan for you. I want you to try to figure out what that plan is this year. I want to give you everything you need today to figure out what that is. You should desire to delight to do it. Don't worry about God's putting you in a place where you can't do it, because I can tell you God will give you everything you need to do what you need to do. He always supplies it. You don't know it, but you already have everything you need to do what God wants you to do. You just need to realize what it is. Sometimes people spend a lifetime trying to figure out what they want to do. I was always amazed in school when some of those guys had on their, you know, in the yearly book that we got our pictures in, that they actually knew what they were going to do with their life. Huh? Did you find that? Just amazed that these people knew so early in their life what they wanted to do. But I'll guarantee you there's some in my class that are still trying to figure out what they want to do. Huh? When it said in the book they were undecided, I'll bet at 66 they're still undecided. If you'd really actually know it. They're still undecided. They still don't know what they want to do. I want to have a better year this year than last. How can we do that, Pastor? All right, I want to work on that. There are different categories of God's will. There is the predetermined will of God. There are certain events that the Lord has predestined to occur, and no one will change that. How about that? There's the predetermined will of God. God has already predetermined that there'll be certain things that's going to happen, and you're not going to change it. And then there's his moral will. These are the religious standards that God intends for us to live by. An example of that would be the Ten Commandments, which apply to everybody. That's his moral will. A lot of people aren't concerned about God's moral will, are they? Except Christians. Certainly people of the world aren't. Then there's God's desired will. How he wants us to live as Christians. How God would like us to live as Christians. Then here's this circumstantial will. When we fail to live up to his standards, but he wants us to know how we should respond to these circumstances. And then there's his immediate will. It's what the Lord desires us to do today in our current situation. So how can we be sure that what we're considering is the will of God? Every day is filled with decisions and choices. When you got up this morning, you looked in the wardrobe to see what you wanted to wear, right? I try to make it simple. I probably have 150 ties, and no matter how often I put them on, I always usually manage to get them crooked. And I don't want somebody looking at my crooked tie. I want you to be listening to what I'm saying. You understand? That's more important to me. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I want you to be able to take what I'm telling you today and put it to work right away. Put it to work right away in all of your lives. That's what my desire is. You're here today. You've chose to be here today. You chose to put on something. You chose to be here today. And I want God to speak to you. Each and every one. This is a message that each and every one will benefit from. Here we are, we're starting out our new year. We gotta do some things, we gotta put some things in place to make sure that we can make good decisions and good choices, because we'll certainly have the opportunity to do that. Our decisions could be practical, they could be moral, they could be financial. There's all kinds of decisions that we make. And every aspect of our lives that we read, we should submit it to the will of God. In all thy what? Ways. Do what? Acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge him. Everything in your life is important. Your life is important. You want your life to count for something this year? Well, then make sure that you are living in God's will. So here are some questions that I want you to ask yourself. These are questions to whether decide to, for the decisions that you make, to see if they line up with God's will or not. This is part of the way I want to try to help you. Is this decision consistent with God's word? You see, his will and his word is always the same. It agrees. His will and his word is always in agreement. Somebody come up to me and say, I think it's God's will for me to divorce my wife, my spouse. Oh, really? Well, you ain't reading the same book I am. You're just not reading the same one I'm reading. You see, God's will and his word are always the same. They're in agreement. Is it a wise choice? Oh, hey, boy, here we're going to hit quite a few. How many of you would admit that you haven't always made the wise choice? Boy, I'm going to tell you. Did you know that for every choice you make, there is another C? A consequence. Oh. For every choice, there is a consequence. And what you don't realize is that for every choice you make, your choice affects a lot of people. It may affect your spouse. It may affect your children. It may affect your grandchildren. It will affect a whole lot more people than just you. Your choice affects a lot of people. A lot of people are involved in your choice. So when you're making a decision, some people just make it on a whim. You know what that means, don't you? Roll the dice, we'll see how it plays. Not worrying about consequence. Every decision comes with a consequence. And so we need to evaluate it on how it will affect others. Our choices influence people. Many people. They watch how we live. They watch what we do. They watch how we respond. We can't live out God's will perfectly, that's for sure. There's just some things we just don't do it right. We just don't get it right, do we? We can't do it perfectly. But we can make wise choices that would benefit us and others as well as his kingdom. Us, others, and his kingdom. In this new year, we need a lot of help. We need a lot of help. Here's some more questions to ask yourself. Can I honestly ask God to help me to achieve this decision? Can I honestly ask God to help me to achieve this decision? Now, I might just use this for an example. Lord, I sure would like to win the lottery. Would you help me pick the right numbers? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. How many did I lose on that one? Are you still listening? Say hello. All right. You didn't leave yet. I'd do a lot with it if you let me get a shot at it. I'd give a lot of money to the church. Why do we think that sometimes when we make decisions on our own and then we expect God to approve it? Hello? How many times do we make decisions on our own without even thinking about consulting God and then we expect God to approve it? Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. But many people think it does. They think they have a lottery God. We go out and do things and expect God to bless us when we know it's contrary to his word. Our relationship is a serious relationship we have with the Lord. And we should never presume to make decisions on our own without God's approval. We need God's approval, and we should seek God's approval. But we should ask the Lord first. The first thing we need to do is we need to ask him if this is what he'd have us to do. Not do it and then expect him to bless you. No, doesn't work that way. Another question. Do I have genuine peace about this decision? Now, you know what I'm talking about? The kind of peace that you can sleep on? Now, if you don't have peace about it, I pray it just keeps you awake up all night. I hope you don't get a blink of sleep. I hope if it's something, if it's a decision you made, I hope it keeps you up all night. Because it should. But if you can make a decision that you know it's in keeping with God's will and his word, then you should be able to sleep. You should have rest. And you should have peace with it. God will give you peace with it. It's another way to find out whether you've made the right choice. Do you have peace with it? Is it peace with it? Are you peace with it? If you don't have peace with it, it's probably the wrong choice. Wrong decision. You need to have peace. We need to have peace and quietness in our spirit. When you're a Christian, you have an overwhelming sense of gratitude. I thank God for his guidance. Oh, there's been lots of times I've gotten ahead of God. Sometimes I lag behind. If you get ahead of God or if you lag behind, both ways can be very costly. Both ways can be very costly. I've had to learn the hard way, like you have. Doing things without God is very costly. It costs me dearly because I wanted it. I wanted it. But I didn't check with the Lord. I wanted it. Lord, do you want me to have this? Is it okay? Are you okay with this? But I didn't check with him. Because I figured his answer would be no. Huh? Now, that reminds me of my childhood. I was closer to my mother than I was to my dad. I could get away with things with my mother. With dad, not so. Mother would say, you talk to your dad when he gets home. When he got home, I didn't bother because I knew it wouldn't make much difference. Now, I could talk this over with Mom. Mom and I could see eye to eye with it, but she'd say, you'll have to ask Dad about this. Why don't you ask him? Yeah, why don't you ask him? You see that human nature in us even when we're a child. I don't want to ask him because he ain't let me do it. But it ended up costing me because I didn't do it the right way. Another question to ask, is this choice consistent with the way God works? Is my choice consistent with the way God works? Throughout our Bible, God's ways are revealed to us throughout the scriptures, and especially how he worked in the lives of other people in the scriptures. Now, we have lots of places to go, and we can see how he worked in their lives. And it's very similar to our lives, very similar. Some of the things are very similar. We need to be consistent, and we need to understand that our choice needs to be consistent with God's word. You see, God isn't trying to hide his will from us. He's there, and he wants to reveal it to any of us who really, genuinely want to obey him. He will show us, and he will reveal his word. But we need to heed his warnings and his corrections when he gives them to us. Another question, does this decision fit who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ? Does this decision fit? If we're truly born again and we're following the Lord, we want to do his will because we need to adapt our behaviors and our attitudes to fit our identity in Christ. The way we speak, the way we dress, the way we respond, the way we act is all a reflection of Jesus in us. It is a reflection of Jesus being in us. Has Jesus always been a reflection in your life? Have you ever gotten angry and thrown off the handle and you did that in public? Isn't that so-and-so? Isn't that the pastor of St. Thomas? What's he doing? He just left his whole cart set in the grocery store. Wonder what's the matter with him? People are watching your lives. They're watching you. They're watching how you respond. 14 registers and two of them are open. I'll fix them. I'll let this whole cart set. They can put it all away themselves. Huh? Boy, of all people, he should have more patience than that, but he don't. He's just a sinner saved by grace like you are. Problem is, I worked in a grocery store. I probably shouldn't have did that. Didn't make me so good for the other stores. I see inadequacies that disturb me. But it's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of knowledge. And on my part, it's simply a lack of patience. I'm sorry, Lord. I wasn't a very good advertisement today. This is what we're talking about. How is your advertisement through the week? As a Christian, are you a good advertisement for the kingdom of heaven? Are you a good advertisement? Do people see good things in your life? Do you have a nice display of Christ living in you throughout the week? I hope so. I hope they see that because you know what? There's a lot of other people who do see it. Your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you, Pappy and Grandma. They're watching you. They're thinking that by this time, with you being so old, you should have a little more patience than that. Don't let these hair disqualify me. God's still working on me. Does this idea fit God's overall plan for my life? A lot of things is revealed in God's word, but there's sometimes the exact situation that we're faced with may not be mentioned in the scriptures. Maybe something in particular that you're involved in, maybe just isn't mentioned in the scripture. So we have to consider whether our choice is consistent with other claims of Christians and Christian behavior. Because hypocrisy damages our testimony and our witness and our influence for Christ. Do you know what hypocrisy is? Saying one thing and doing another. Are you consistent? Is your life consistent? Will this decision honor God? You see, the Lord's honored when our choices align with his word. But if we have unrest in our hearts and we're not at peace with the situation and it keeps us awake all night, we need to reconsider our decision. Perhaps he brings troubling thoughts to us. And sometimes we think because we're in trouble or we've had a lot of pain and a lot of trials lately, sometimes we question whether we're in God's will or not. Let me be clear. Don't you ever think for a minute that because you're having problems and troubles that you're out of God's will. Because that couldn't be further from the truth. It's those times when God's carrying you. In your darkest moments, remember he's there. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He's there. He's there in your darkest moments. He's there in your loneliest moments. He's there. His arms are around you. And my prayer is that you'll feel his presence in a very special way in your life this new year. Will this choice result in unrest and regret for the rest of my life? You see, the time to consider this question is before acting on a decision. Because if it's not God's will, the regret and heartache we feel afterwards may last a lifetime. Think about that decision. It may last a lifetime. And the last question, can I expect God to reward me for this decision? You see, the choices we make in this life determine whether our actions are worthy of blessings now and our future reward in heaven. How about that? Would God reward me? Would I get a reward in heaven for this decision I make? I hope these questions have helped you in seeking God's will. As you look back in your life to past decisions, how much thought did you give to whether they were God's will? What have you learned today that will help you to determine what God's will is in a particular situation? How does knowing that God has a purpose and plan and desire for your life make you feel? It should make you feel special. You should feel special because you are special. You're very special. Are you willing to trust him to rule your life and to guide you into his will? Can you say, as the psalmist said, I desire, O Lord, to do your will? Could I have four volunteers to help with the communion?